Are you still watching The Pit?
No. We stopped because episode one was like so bloody. We like couldn't take it.
I watch it like through my hands. But yeah. Okay, well, this is going to be so outdated then by the time this comes out. But Mike and I are like walking around our apartment saying three things from The Pit.
What?
Dana, Baby Jane Doe. That's how she says Baby Jane Doe with her thick accent. She's looking good. Take a formula well. And also, Mr. Digby. How's it going, Mr. Digby? Who is Skinny Pete from Breaking Bad?
Oh, really?
He's like in this role. And also, if you might have seen this like coming up on your like For You page or whatever. Yeah. I'll pay for it.
Ah!
It's like The Pit is killing me.
I know. It's too much for me right now.
Baby Jane Doe. Hi, Patrick Hines.
Bam, don't forget to check us out on YouTube. We're in our new studio now. It looks really cool. If you haven't seen it yet, it looks really, really fancy.
It looks really nice.
We've got over 250,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That's crazy.
I know. And join us on Patreon, but only if you want over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes covering everything, like starting all the way back to The Staircase up to like the murder of Ellen Greenberg.
Yeah.
What else?
We have, oh my God, we're doing the Rocky Mountain Mortician murder.
Crazy.
We're going to do Glitterball City on the Patreon because it's like 2.5 hours of content and it's a mess.
Gays and murder.
I
know.
Documentaries.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a lot. I'm telling you right now. So we're doing it on the Pates.
One of the things we do over on the Patreon fam, at the Hero Bell tier, we're like recapping things that we can't do on the regular feed. So we did the Lori Vallow thing.
Yeah.
We did the documentary about, what was that show called?
It's called Predators.
Predators.
It's about to catch a predator, kind of.
Tell them what we're doing next.
We're doing that three-part Netflix America's Next Top Model thing. We're going to do it in one episode just for you. Like it's your own personal episode.
And we just met somebody from it.
One of
the talking heads was at this thing that we did last week for Patreon.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I've already watched all three.
Not anyone who tortured any of the models.
No. Although I've got some thoughts on it.
I mean,
I've got some stuff to say.
Tyra.
Patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed, or just go to the show notes and you can click the link there. What are we talking about today?
This is on Hulu. It's called The Missing Millionaires. Of course, it can't be millionaire because she's a woman.
Right,
but
of course.
But two episodes, so we're doing it in one.
Dover Heights mother Melissa Caddick went for an early morning run, but she never came home.
Officers are searching footage in a bid to find missing millionaire Melissa Caddick.
Her teenage son and her husband have left behind.
Arguably the most high-profile missing person case we've seen in a very long time. This foot has turned up on a remote beach in a shoe.
It is confirmed the DNA match.
I want you to draw me in. Trace your name on my skin.
The mystery of what happened to Melissa Caddick is intensifying.
You don't know my hidden...
Now, it opens like a horror movie for me.
What in the Lilith Fair is this theme song?
The theme song is really good.
I found it.
Oh, you did?
It's called Hidden Heart by Russell Faulkus and Felicity Hunter. Do you know who they are?
I thought you were going to say Felicity Huffman.
I know.
Was like, what?
No.
But it opens with an underwater shot of the ocean, which scares the living shit. I cannot look at that stuff.
It's too much.
But it's a shoe. We'll get to the significance of that later. But we're starting on November 13th, 2020, in a place called Dover Heights in Sydney, Australia. It's the day before Melissa's disappearance. She's the millionaire-ass.
Yeah, Melissa Caddick, she is missing. She's a super successful businesswoman. The fact that she's missing is being treated as suspicious, we're told.
Yeah, we meet her husband, Anthony Coletti. He's he's got highlights for days.
I don't know what he thinks he's doing here.
I know.
I think he's lost.
You know, the thing I do feel for this guy eventually, we'll get into that, but he's describing Melissa as the love of his life, and it does seem like they have like a pretty sweet love story.
We also get home videos of their dog, Snowy.
Oh,
very cute name.
That's a good name.
They have another dog. We never learn the other dog.
Oh, come on, one. Lou. Well, she's writing him love letters on the bathroom mirror.
Yeah, it's just like a little I love you. Letter is a lot. But yeah, it's a cute little love note in the mirror.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
A love note on a mirror.
Yeah, that then
Steve,
the person...
take note. Like, then, just once in my life.
And then the person has to clean it.
And that would be Steve.
Right.
I'm not doing that.
Like, he's writing you the note. And you're like, cute. And then you're just turning around.
I turn and walk away. Today, he literally said, you know that when the trash gets full, it doesn't take itself out. I didn't know that. I know.
Shots fired.
Not know that.
Wow, interesting. We learn something new every day.
Every day.
Every day's a school day.
So November 13th, 2020, Anthony wakes up at 6 a.m.
I went upstairs to the gym and Melissa's son was there. I said to him, do you know where your mummy is? He said something to the effect of she's gone for a run.
The son tells Anthony that mom Melissa has gone out for a run, but her phone is in her closet and it's weird that she didn't take it with her.
Yeah, I do want to like stop on this for a second because I was just thinking about this whole like, we always scream like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't always have my phone when I take Fiona for her morning walk.
Yeah.
So like, I don't always, I try to just like for safety, but most of the time I probably don't.
I feel like it's like for music or something though. But like you're on a run.
That's what I was going to say. And then I was like, but I don't know because I'm not a runner. But like, wouldn't you want something in your ears while you're running, you psychopath?
There's no
go way for fun.
I could run without. Like, when I used to be a runner, I had to have music.
Something, podcast, something, right?
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, I don't always have my phone. And then I was like, if I'm running, if I'm torturing myself, I need to be listening to music at least.
Yeah, and especially, like, if you're, like, out and it's you're going to be out for a long time and it's early in the morning, like, yeah. Have your phone with you.
But also, the full combo is missing. The keys, wallet, phone combo is not missing. It's in her apartment or in her, like, walk-in closet that's enormous.
Yes, and we learned that Anthony eventually calls the police. We'll get a timeline on that in a little bit. But the police come and we get the body cam footage. And Anthony's showing the cops like what she would be wearing, like black gym clothes, ASICS sneakers.
Yeah, and he's like, that's really it. That's all I know.
And so he starts looking, like, he's looking for her. He's going on walks. He's going on drives. Police spend 7 days searching all of her favorite spots. This place looks beautiful and fancy.
Huge.
And it's like, you know, it's like winter here and it's summer there. I'm like, can we go?
I know.
Let's just go do it there.
But we learned that
Dover Heights is one of the richest suburbs in the entire country in which to live. It's hard to describe just how big this story was. It was similar to the Madeleine McCann disappearance because for a woman to go missing from that area is very rare.
She compares this story to the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. That's how big it was in this area, she says.
Girl, Miracle Maid is back.
Okay, what do you have to say? You've been telling me, you've been talking about it since I've seen you today.
Listen, these are those sheets that are crafted with NASA-inspired silver-infused fabric that helps regulate your body temperature, right?
Yes.
So last night, we've been using Miracle Maid for years. I woke up in the middle of the night, got up to get a drink of water. I was like feeling a little warm. I laid down on the sheets and they had reset to cool.
Okay.
So they started cool. They had me on them all night. I got up 3 seconds later, I was back. And I was like, I have to scream about this on the episode.
See,
tomorrow.
I love that because we're in this middle of like this weird season where it's like it's not too cold, it's not too warm, and you never know like what temperature you should be sleeping at.
Right, and the sheets were really putting their money where their mouth is. Like, they really cooled me down. I cannot say enough. I'm like, yeah, it works every time.
I have to say they also, so they're not only doing that, but they're really good for your skin too.
Yes.
Because all that like hidden bacteria that's usually in regular sheets, it can clog your pores and cause breakouts. And so Miracle Maid's antibacterial design helps you sleep cleaner and clearer every single night, and you're not sweating.
Not to mention they just feel good. It's like going to like a luxury 5-star hotel sheets for like a fraction of the cost.
My fave.
We're obsessed. So fam, upgrade your sleep or give the gift of better rest.
Go to trymiracle.com/TCO to try Miracle Maid sheets today.
You'll save over 40%, and when you use promo code TCO, you'll get an extra 20% off plus a free 3-piece towel set.
They make an amazing gift, and with a 30-day money-back guarantee, there's no risk.
That's trymiracle.com/TCO, code TCO at checkout.
Thanks to Miracle Maid for sponsoring this episode.
And keeping me cool last night.
Right, that too.
So it's 7 days since Melissa was reported missing. There's a press conference. Now, this press conference is wild. And I will say the documentary does a good job of setting it up to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Anthony says to Melissa, like into the microphone, if you're listening, everything is taken care of. Just come home. You're not in trouble. I was like, what?
And Kate, the journalist, is all of us like, what the hell? Because he says, you know, she's, you know, this dedicated and incredible mother. I love her so much. And when he's asked if she's watching, what do you say to her? And he just says, don't worry, you're not in trouble. Like, you can come home. Like, what?
No, it seems like he knows something that the rest of Australia doesn't know. That's not true.
I mean,
when we get there, we'll understand that everybody in Australia knows what he's talking about that moment. But we, the viewer, do not.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
Because then Kate, the journalist, is like, nothing could be further from the truth. And I'm like, Kate, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
And so Melissa Caddick is, quote, in serious trouble. And the husband knew all about it. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, he knew all about the fact that she was in trouble. When we get there, I don't think he knew about what she was in trouble
for. If I asked him right now, he'd deny it. So Kate breaks it down, okay? Yeah. A few days before Melissa goes missing, Kate, the journalist, gets this call about this super prominent guy who's guilty of insider trading, and there was a raid. And so Kate's like, this sounds crazy.
So I rang the Australian Federal Police and they said, Do you mean the search warrants at Willangra Road, Dover Heights? And I said, oh, who's at Willangra Road? And they said, oh, some woman, a Melissa Caddick.
And the cops are like, no, 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 it wasn't some guy.
Yeah.
It was Melissa Caddick's house, and we just executed all these search warrants, and she's like a liar and a thief.
I feel like we are bumping up against all these documentaries where the police are telling people way too much.
Way too much, but also, like, the whole, like, oh, some, like, he was really, the person was rich, so it must have been a guy, the missing millionaire-esque.
It's like, true. No, you're right. And, but Kate, the journalist, is like, we got to start investigating this. So now we meet Jody, who's one of Melissa's, like, childhood friends.
Yeah, and we have to, like, go outside Melissa's childhood home for 10 minutes.
I know. We don't really get much from this section, although I like Jody.
Yeah, she just explains that, like, Melissa used to be great. You know, yeah. Like, she was fun and ambitious, and she says, I would have trusted her with my life.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, she's just saying, like, you have to understand about Melissa, like, she made a name for herself. She was so successful. She did this on her own. And then Kate, the journalist, is here to take all the fun out of all of this.
Of course. So, but we learn that Melissa is a financial advisor. And by 2020...
Well, that's what she called herself, at least.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Oh my God, this just like makes me so nervous for people. And like, because nobody understands the stock market except for like financial people that you have to trust your money with.
I know someone who trusted, like a friend of my parents years ago, who trusted someone and like took all their money.
I mean, how does that not happen every
I
single?
Don't
We're
know.
About to see how freaking easy it is.
Right. So she had over 60 clients in 2020, which is when this takes place. She was on the cover of Independent Financial Advisor magazine, like
yes,
telling
Melissa.
Everyone what to look for in a financial advisor. So let's go back to 2013, where Melissa starts this company.
Melissa Caddick sets up a financial services vehicle called Malava Proprietary Limited. Her mission statement is, I'm rich, and that's why I now have the time and the inclination to help you achieve perhaps not the same level of wealth as myself, but I will help you get there.
I'm going to help you get rich. Not as rich as me, of course,
but like
rich enough.
Rich enough.
A little bit rich.
We meet another Kate now, Kate Horn, who's a former client of Melissa's. That's how she's introduced to us here.
Right. And as we are hearing about this, we get this video that Melissa took shopping, like doing like a private shopping spree in Dior.
I mean, the amount of absolutely stunningly beautiful jewelry and clothing that this woman has bought for herself.
And so, like, Kate, the investor,
yeah,
says, like, she explains, she goes, you know, she was a single mom and Melissa was passionate about working with single moms. And immediately I was like, if this is going where I think it's going,
I know,
I am going to be furious.
I know. And this woman, Kate, had been a nurse for 20 years. She said she didn't have much of a life or really any fun, but she's very frugal. And her one goal in life was, like, to help her kids when they get older, like, buy a house.
Right.
Like, that's what she's going to work as a nurse every day for 20 years for. This woman is literally telling us about the sacrifices she's making.
And then she's, like, going to Melissa, this other woman who makes her business supporting other women to help them reach their financial goals. And Kate is like, this is awesome. Like, I feel really seen and heard and supported. And like, this is not like, how many financial advisors would do that?
No. And also, it's a perfect setup for then Kate to be like, let me tell all of my other female friends to go work with this woman, Melissa. Like, her mission statement is to help other women, and it's working.
And like, everyone sees Melissa as this really successful, smart, empathetic person. And like, she's living this life where once you see it, you're like, well, I can have that. The mansion, the cars, luxury, everything, designer, everything.
Did you like the jewelry or was it too much?
I don't really care about that. I'm sure it might be beautiful.
I thought the pieces were just, there's this one necklace that I was like, it looked like it was right out of like Amneris's wardrobe from Aida. I was like,
we've been talking about Aida every episode. And like, I hope we never stop.
Dress has always been my strongest suit. I'm going to sing it every time, Erin.
It's so good. But like, yeah, there's like a lot of like luxury stuff. But on top of that, she's like, no, this is for all of you. Like, I'm going to support you in getting this, and everyone feels so lucky to work with her. And I'm like, great, then why do we have a search warrant?
I know. Why does it feel like everybody's in trouble?
So the day before Melissa vanishes,
around 6 a.m., I was feeding the dogs and something was wrong. Melissa said, oh, Anthony, can you come upstairs? I've come upstairs and there's a whole bunch of federal police. We got read the search warrant.
there's the big police raid the day before she goes missing.
There's a raid on the home.
Like, they are literally counting her money.
Yeah.
They're going through her safes. They're taking account of the luxury watches. They're making her describe all of these things. They're like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that?
We see the body cam footage. She literally has, like, Dior boxes that we have, like, Amazon packages. Like, she has boxes of, like, the fanciest, most expensive jewelry that she's never even opened. Like, things are not out of the boxes.
The amount of stuff is, like, sorry, Miranda Priestly, but it is just stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I know it's luxury, but, like, huge necklaces, these, like, statement pieces and diamonds. And
I'm like, are you going to state dinners? Like, where are you wearing this to?
Right. And it feels like, yeah, like, no one can really, like, use all of that.
Right.
Unless you're someone who's constantly in a position where you have to look regal or royalty or something. Like,
even if, like Nicole Kidman wore that necklace to the Oscars, I feel like she'd, like, have 10 bodyguards on her.
Like, it had to lose a guy in 10 days where she wears the big yellow diamond and like it's like there's like security and then she runs out, Kate Hudson runs out after Matthew McConaughey and they're like, oh my God, the diamond!
Yeah.
Like that, where it's like it's like rented and like there's security, not just like in a safe and you're walking.
No, right. And like I cannot express the number of unopened boxes from like Gucci and Prada.
And we see it all on the body cam.
The tape is still on it. Like they've never been unsealed.
So like they're seizing these things. So they're like taking documentation about all like how much it costs, all of this stuff. They're taking it. And Anthony, the husband's like,
she didn't explain to me anything that was going on. I had just assumed that they'd made a mistake and that everything would go back to normal. And that would be that. That's what I thought. I trusted my wife 100%.
She didn't tell me anything. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, could you ask a question?
I know. This
could you ask?
Very much like a don't ask, don't tell situation.
He's like, I assume they made a mistake and everything was fine. Like, I just trusted her. And I'm like, well, Anthony.
Yeah.
Now's the time to ask a single solitary question.
Because you have 90 cops in your house taking all your shit.
And now, but the thing is, like, egg on my face, because Anthony's like, everybody agreed with me. And they did.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, this is, someone goes, it was a dreadful misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And here comes Kate, the journalist, with yet another reality check.
Because it's like, she's just saying that, like, Kate starts investigating, she's discovering that like this fraud is like worth tens of millions of dollars that they're investigating.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
It's hanging in her closet. It's
right.
Like the bad version of Carrie Bradshaw where she's like, I like my money where I can see it hanging in my closet. That's Melissa.
That's exactly
right. She stole it all.
But I'm like, Anthony, there's no way that you didn't see the necklaces. There's no way you didn't see, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
All, like the bags and like, it's all right there.
And I guess what she would say is if questioned, like she's on the cover of these financial advisor magazines.
Yeah.
Like she is successful.
I mean, and we're going to learn later that like Anthony isn't of this world. So I feel like we see this all the time where like people are in these relationships and one of them is doing something shady, but they're living this like a hoity-toity. Like we just saw it in Trophy Wife on Patreon where like no one's asking any questions because everybody's like living off of the benefits.
That's what I was going to say. It's just kind of really nice to be able to like have the houses and the cars and the trips and you know.
But like you and I that live in constant fear of going to jail for tax fraud, if you came home with like a necklace like that, I'd be like, babe, where did you get that?
And why?
How?
What, where, when?
And can I try? Are we drag queens now? Can I try this on?
I mean,
can I please wear this?
It must be crazy to like be around something that has that much value, like just like draped in diamonds like that.
I mean,
like, what does that feel
like? It's a piece that like has like 8 layers to. I was so taken by this necklace, and like
it feels like it should be in like a museum or
something. I was thinking, like, is she at least displaying them in the house? Although I guess then everybody would like be in danger.
Well, yeah, I guess she has to like hide some of it.
Yeah,
right. Like
and
that's the other
thing. The thing about doing shit like this, you can't really enjoy the money,
right?
You know.
And at this point, it's like, how many of those necklaces are you real? Like, are you buying it for the sake of buying it? Because that's what it feels like.
Or for me, it feels a little bit like put your money in things that like you can like put in a suitcase if you need to.
Right. Or it's like a way of laundering it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like that you can't like throw like thousands of hundreds of dollars of bills in like a suitcase and like go on an airplane.
Right.
Anthony, by the way, is now driving around in his fancy car looking for her, blaring his music, because she'll know his car and she'll know his music.
And I'm like, as if she's lost?
Right.
I don't...
No, right. Good question.
But it's sort of like, you know, he's like hoping, like making a spectacle and blasting music and like screaming. And I'm like, so we're going straight to like Lost and Amnesia?
Right.
It just feels like it's like I I don't know shit about shit. I guess you would do goddamn anything you could to get attention. Like, in a good, you know, like try to get this person to notice you or find this person. I don't know.
Well, if you're confused, dear listener, the timeline is the raid on the house happens. The rest of the day happens. They all, like, Anthony and Melissa go to bed. He wakes up in the morning. And remember, she went out for that run and she's gone.
Right. So,
yesterday was the raid. Today she's gone. And Anthony does not know where she is.
And is not connecting the two things.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Like, to this day, maybe.
And Anthony tells us a lot of information in 30 seconds. He's a hairdresser.
I couldn't work because of COVID. I had to support a young child and I had no money. Most of my money went to her bank accounts for bills. Melissa's bank accounts were frozen to stop her from, they said, moving her money offshore or something like that.
And he's now raising her kid with no access to any money or work.
He goes, Melissa's accounts have been frozen, quote, to prevent her from moving money offshore or something like that. Anthony?
I know.
You gotta, like...
I know.
Well, you should be in a panic, no? About, like, all of these things. The raid, like, what is my life? Have I been living a lie? Like, nothing?
You know how I used to always suggest that, like, if you ever hit the lottery or whatever, go bury $1 million in the yard?
You don't tell anybody.
But, like, maybe that's what Anthony did. Like, we never get into that side of it, but he doesn't seem to be worried about money for somebody who doesn't have any money.
He just keeps saying he doesn't understand what's happened, and the more he says it, the less I believe him.
I know.
He says it too much.
You and all of Australia.
You know?
Yeah. Fam, if your skincare isn't working, you're probably skipping this step. Gentle Daily Exfoliation. That's my drag name.
Right. So I love using the toning pads from Bareface, and they have transformed my skin. Bareface sells one of these every 3 minutes, so you know they're just that good.
I love the way they make my skin look. Less clogged pores, smoother, clearer skin, and they give my skin a healthy glow.
You can really see the difference. I'm just saying.
Thank you. Look, because of you, I've taken my skincare seriously, and I'm all about it.
I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Here's the thing. You have to do it every day, and they're gentle enough for daily use, but effective enough that you'll see a difference within 2 weeks, which I have at you. I'm staring at you. You're glowing.
It's the exfoliation.
You're glowing.
Bareface was founded by a nurse practitioner and is built on the philosophy of less, but better.
Intentional formulas, no unnecessary steps, and products designed to work together for long-term skin health.
With over 250,000 customers, more than 2 million orders, and a 90% returning customer rate, the results speak for themselves.
So if you want to see results and find a skincare routine you'll actually stick to, this is where we recommend starting.
Head to bareface.com and use code TCO for 15% off at checkout plus free shipping.
That's TCO for 15% off plus free shipping.
Bareface, less steps, better skin.
So let's talk to Bruce Gleason. He's a money guy.
Yes.
His lower third is a receiver and liquidator. I don't know. It's money.
Who knows what that means?
Mergers and acquisitions, like murders and executions. Like
right.
American Psycho.
He's like melting down gold. That's what I imagine his job.
Like he's... the guy. He's a money guy.
Yeah. So this guy is like explaining how Melissa did this fraud.
And he's the one who's like, she presented herself as a financial planner.
Yeah.
So she would give investment advice to people who were investing through their retirement fund or pension fund. Like these are people who really want to do, they have big money goals.
And they're working class people. These are people who are sacrificing to take this money and give it to Melissa so she can make more money for that.
And like your retirement fund, your pension, you work for every cent you make, but like the pension. You know, like you earned that decades.
Yes, but like it's like any account. Like if that money disappears, it's gone.
Right.
You know?
So in 2020, there's a complaint. Someone makes a complaint that Melissa may or may not be on the up and up. And there's like this theory that maybe she doesn't have the license to be doing this.
Yeah.
So they report her to this agency. Obviously, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so Vanessa Duckworth is here to like look into this and find out what the hell Melissa's up to. Because this is a big accusation.
And like this, what we learn is very simple.
So I following the money through, there was a number of transactions going out of the company's bank accounts once the investor monies had been deposited. In this circumstance, the withdrawal of the funds from investors was going to Melissa's personal account. And you'll see there the credit of $1.5 million coming in.
Melissa is taking the money from like her friends and family.
She doesn't have a license, by the way.
She doesn't have a license. She's putting them in her company account, letting it sit there for like a day, and then transferring all that money to her personal bank account.
From 2013 to 2020.
And I'm like, look, she must have known this day was coming.
She had to. That's exactly why we're here.
Exactly. Like, if that's the scheme, I'm going to take the money, put it in my business account for one day, then move it to my personal account. Like, she knew she was on a clock.
And she had 60 to 70 investors giving all this money to the company, like $2.5 million in a single day sometimes.
Yes.
So she would, like, send them these doctored Photoshop statements. The statements don't exist. Like, they're not real. The account doesn't exist. The app doesn't exist. Like, nothing is real.
Literally export a document with account numbers, remove one number, and then send the statements to her clients to be like, look how much money you're making.
Yeah, and like, if you're sitting there wondering, like, where the hell is the money going? It's on her neck.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
In her closet.
And we're talking, they're saying $20 to $40 million is missing. And like, once again, she's counting on two things that make me crazy. That these people are desperate to, like, make money off of their money. And the other thing is that they're going to look at a statement and have no idea how to read it.
Right.
You know, they're going to look at it and be like, oh my God, last month I had $2,000 and now I have $3,000. Like, it's working. It's happening.
Meanwhile, she's saying, like, don't worry, single woman or person who's worked so hard. Like, I have your back. That's the other thing, too. She's, like, co-opting and, like, weaponizing their emotions.
This woman is truly evil.
Also, $20 to $40 million, not a single donation, by the way.
Oh,
like, not a single penny went to help people or animals or the earth or anything. Like, not that we're told anyway, and I really don't think so.
I mean, she did a lot to support the Gucci family, I'm told. You know what I mean?
Dior needs it, God knows.
I know.
Like, are you serious? That's the other thing where it's like, if you're gonna steal all this money, you're not even thinking, even for the optics, nothing.
Right.
You can't just be, like, that's on how the board of something.
Right, like, and that's how we know that she always knew this day. She knew she was going to get caught someday. So Kate, the journalist, writes a story that appears on Saturday, December 4th. So it's like a couple weeks after Melissa goes missing.
She's the con artist of the century. And I think we have 4 million unique readers. And the story absolutely blew up.
Kate is telling us they've got millions and millions of readers. Everybody all over, like, the continent of Australia is obsessed with this story. And who wouldn't be?
Right.
Because she committed this fraud up to $40 million, and now she's missing. Like, everything about this is appealing.
Now, Kate, the investor, not Kate, the journalist, she explains that this was a really big betrayal for everyone, but especially her, because Kate was childhood friends with this person. They were best friends from when they were kids.
And this is a big reveal that, like, Melissa was doing this to people she didn't know, but she was also doing it to her best friends and her family.
Her brother.
And their family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in each other's weddings. They were at the hospital when their kids were born. Yeah. I mean, like, lifelong besties.
This is like Scamanda level mania.
Really, really bad.
Yeah.
But at least Scamanda, I mean, it was all bad, but like, this is like, they grew up together. You know, Scamanda was just like picking people off. Like,
yeah. Well, right, truly. And it's also like, Melissa would know what this means to her best friend.
Right.
You know what I mean? What, like, the promise of, like, what, like, to lie to your best friend like that.
And then be like, and tell all of your friends about me.
Yes.
She was doing this to her own parents.
Yes.
To her brother. Like, she had a major network of people.
I can't believe she got away with it as long as she did.
I can't believe it either.
You know?
Like, people trusted her, and she's like off skiing in Aspen in a $10,000 ski suit or whatever with a $350,000 necklace around her neck, and everyone she's ever met is in financial ruin, and she put them there. And off she is.
Kate,
like,
literally says, we were all completely ruined.
Right. Just the double whammy, like the 1-2 fucking punch of like, that this happened and then who did it to you?
You'll
never get over it.
So now we meet a guy named Hilton. He's a successful financial advisor from South Africa. And we're going back to the beginning of Melissa's career, like how this all started.
Yeah, like the early 2000s.
So he came to Australia. He's looking for someone to sort of, he's like, was really successful in South Africa. And he's looking for someone to sort of show him how it's done in Australia. And that's how he meets Melissa.
Yeah.
And he tells a story about, like, she's sort of like, they're in a meeting one day. She's like showing him the ropes. And one day they're going to meet with clients. And she looks at him and says, let's go make some money.
Hilton's like, what?
And he's kind of horrified. He's like, that's not how we talk in this line of work. The idea is that we do make money, but we make money for our clients. That's where we get the satisfaction from.
She's like the cartoon who, like, sees the client as the big, like, steak dinner.
Exactly.
You know, like, because they're going to meet a client to do work and, like, help this person reach their goals.
Right.
And she's like, oh, like, cha-ching, let's go. And he's like, what?
And you just don't talk that way, according to Hilton. But Hilton is the guy who discovers the fraud, because what is going on is that because Melissa is getting a fee for her services, she's therefore legally not entitled to a commission. And so he looks at an account one day.
And the percentage growth just wasn't happening in the investment. Now, here's the application. And when I picked it up, there it was. I noticed something really shocking. you can see over here where she was supposed to get no commission, she had changed it so that she had earned full commission as well. It's simple fraud.
She's literally taking in commission what the investment is making. So this client is making no money.
And when he's like, it's simple fraud. So Hilton calls her immediately because this is not the guy to pull that shit with.
Yeah.
Like, not at all.
No.
So she denies it, blames her secretary.
Yes.
And then he just never hears from her or sees her ever again. And he doesn't do anything. He doesn't tell the client. He just moves on. He's like, in those days, we just moved on.
I was like, Hilton, you got a little bit of blood on your hands, girl, because now you're in a documentary talking about the shit that she did after this.
Like, what happened to that poor person? That person invested over $100,000.
And like, I'm sorry, but like when you identify the fraud that somebody is doing, the reason you stop them is so we don't end up here.
Right, because that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now...
now we're $23 million in. $23 million.
And best friends and family and all this stuff.
In complete ruin, they said.
Ruin.
Yeah.
So now we meet.
Okay.
I resent the shit out of this.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why.
Please.
So they meet these people who live in the comment section online. Their lower thirds are social media commentators. That's wrong.
Yeah.
They're not experts. They're not sociologists.
Yeah.
They're not professors. They are not commentators. They are internet commenters.
They are literally in there are Facebook groups about this page and these people live in there.
There is absolutely no reason for them to be here.
Yeah.
They are misrepresented. They're not like commenting on the world of social media and virality and all this
uh-huh.
shit. They are fucking trolls who live in the comment section.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, why are they here? Why are you wasting our time?
There's a guy named Michael Michael.
My name is Michael Michael, and that's my Facebook name. I basically provide an ironing service for wealthy socialites. In between ironing, I've got the internet on.
And in between ironing, I have the internet on. Why are you here? That's a direct quote. I have the internet on.
And I gotta tell you, like, being a gay with an ironing business for socialites, that sounds great.
Like, they're just here to speculate wildly. Like, they don't know anything. They just, like, it's so weird.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you like ironing?
I don't. Dude, I've like what is there to iron?
I iron shirts and I like Steve will iron like the linen napkins in our house.
What about steaming them?
Well, we do the steamer function on the iron. There's something so satisfying about like ironing the wrinkles out of something.
I'm sure it is. We're a steamer house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think I must have in my life ironed something, but uh-huh. I don't really have any reason to.
That I love an iron. We've got a nice, like,
I'm
heavy
sure
iron. You know, like, I'm one of those people that it makes me think of, like, the Hairspray of it all. Like, if I was, like, the mom in Hairspray in, like, Baltimore in the 1960s or whatever, I would totally have that business where I'm in, like, a house coat all day and I'm taking in
starching.
Other people's laundry. Starching sounds great.
That makes it crisp, right?
Yeah. Real crisp.
But isn't that not comfortable?
I don't know.
Did you iron that shirt?
No.
Oh.
Can you tell?
No, I don't know. It feels like a fabric. It looks like kind of warm and thick. Can you not iron that?
I don't know. But I don't iron a lot. But when I do iron, it's rewarding. And the other morning.
That's amazing. I love hearing that.
I came out. I was in the office working. It was early. It was like 5 a.m. Steve had gotten up. We had had people over for dinner. We used our cloth napkins.
Like Steve sets his alarm to wake up early and iron.
I get it. He's ironing, but then pressing the
I like that sound.
Yeah.
The sound.
And then you see the creases go, they melt away, girl.
I really like something, the instant gratification. You can see it working in real time.
Yeah, I appreciate
that.
And then I'm thinking, anytime I do something like that, I'm like, should I make a business doing this?
No.
Fam, Home Chef is back. We've got a lot to say. We both have a story. You go first.
Well, first things first, Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipes. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
We had one of those weeks where we couldn't have Home Chef. We were going to be like home for two days, but not, so we didn't get it. I have to tell you, immediately we were like, oh my God, life is so much easier with Home Chef. The stupid conversation of what do you want for dinner, even though we only had like 2 or 3 days without it, you can really feel it.
And my experience was, how easy it is. So I never, ever, ever cook. Even with as easy as Home Chef as I never do it. This last week, I'm like, I'm giving Steve the night off. I'm making it. I made one of the oven ready. It was a deconstructed enchilada. And fam, as I was making it, I'm like, I have to say, if I can do this, anybody can do it. They make it so easy. They've got all different kinds of meals. You can, if you want to do the chopping and the sauteing, they got that.
Yeah.
If you want the oven ready thing, they send you like a metal tin. You cut some stuff up. You put a little bit in the oven. Then you put a little bit more in the oven. Like 30 minutes later, you got your meal.
And now you're saying words like, like deconstructed enchilada since when?
And I can't even tell you like the sense of pride I felt like making dinner for my family. It really, I was so proud of
myself.
You get
the oven mitts out, you're taking it out of the oven.
Yes.
Love.
And fam, also it's affordable. Home Chef customers are saving an average of $86 per month on groceries. You got everything you need.
Everything you need. We love them so much.
We love them. And for a limited time, fam, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box, plus free dessert for life.
Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Look, what are you doing with your life if you're not doing that?
I mean, for real.
Girl, Gusto is a new sponsor.
Yeah, so Gusto, in case you don't know, is an online payroll and benefit software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere.
Now listen, this is the payroll and benefit software that we use for our company. We have a special guest star who literally asked Gusto to be a sponsor because he loves it so much. Say hello.
Hey.
So Steve, tell them what you love about Gusto.
Gusto, I love so much. They make payroll easy every week. It is the fastest part of my week. I run payroll in 5 minutes tops now that everything is set up. Also, whenever I have a new person, they come in for a new contractor, a new hire, I can set them up automatic onboarding documents that send right out to them. Easy peasy, no problems at all.
Now, back me up. You love it so much, you wanted to talk about them on our podcast as a sponsor.
I said, please, Audioboom, let us have this sponsor. The other thing that I love is their customer support is top notch. Anytime I have any questions about all those confusing things like benefits, HR, taxes, I call them up, they call back within 5 minutes, and always are able to find out the answers so quick, so efficient, so friendly. It is the best customer service I've ever had.
He's never done an ad before. That's how much he loves it.
Love, love, love.
So passionate. It's also super quick and simple to switch to Gusto, fam. All you gotta do is transfer your existing data and get up and running fast.
Yeah, easy peasy.
So fam, try Gusto today at gusto.com/TCO and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll.
That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/TCO.
One more time, gusto.com/TCO.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Anyway,
the people from the Facebook group are here. One of them is ironing.
Shut up. I know. Anthony, the husband, tells us the Anthony and Melissa story, which
is... I kind of love this.
Well...
I love it because it's wild.
Like, she's a liar and a cheater in every facet of her life.
It's true.
Apparently.
They met in 2005. He worked at a hair salon. He did her hair one day. She's married with a son at the time.
She's married and pregnant.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
Well, but nothing happens. Like, she moves to London with the husband, has the kid, and then they reconnect in 2011.
She invited me for lunch, and
we discovered that we had the same birth date and that we went to the same school. She certainly wasn't happy in her marriage. As we were saying goodbye, we just had a kiss. The sparks, the chemistry sort of ignited.
And then as they're leaving lunch, they kiss, and I'm like, what's going on?
Now, they went into this lunch knowing they were going to kiss.
I think they were.
You know what I mean?
100%.
100%. And so, but like the husband stays in the UK and she moves to Australia with the kid.
And Anthony's like, well, I took on the father figure role. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I kind of hate this because we don't know enough. Like, I don't know the details, but I do know that Melissa is a manipulator and a liar.
Yeah.
And like, it kind of sounds like maybe Anthony's crossing a line with her son.
What?
Like, what's going on here?
And we never meet the son. He says 100 times, Melissa's son. So it's not like my stepson even.
There's... And you know what? I'm as bad as these fucking internet commenters. Yeah. I'm going on vibes just like they are. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about these people. I am speculating wildly.
Because from this moment on, everybody refers to Anthony as the toy boy.
It's boy toy.
But it's also fuck boy. Like, Anthony's just a fuck boy.
Right, but it's boy toy.
It is a boy toy.
It's like that term. I'm like, I know everything is like reversed and upside down in Australia, but God damn it.
I know.
The term is the term.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Anyway.
They all call him like the toy boy. And he's, well, I was going to say, whatever. He seems fine. They move in together.
They're married by 2013. Everything is perfect and amazing and incredible. And Anthony wants us to know he was not in it for the money. We're back to the press conference, the one where Anthony's like, you're not in trouble.
Yeah.
Also, this is where it hits me. This guy is a hairdresser?
Yeah.
His hair is awful.
His hair's pretty bad. He's got the like weird Backstreet Boys streaks from like the
2000s. Where it's like really, really short in the side, but up in the front and sort of that faux hawk thing. And he's got these bleached tips. I'm like, you're a hairdresser?
It's the kind
hair
of thing where like,
to me.
Where back surgeons shouldn't perform surgery on themselves.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Just, I was like, hairdresser, you say?
The hairdresser. And it's also like, I was like, oh, he probably owns the salon. He's got a lineup. No, he goes to work every day.
Okay.
It
was a choice. I know. In like 2020 with the frosted tips, it's a choice.
This is why this guy didn't ask any questions when he saw the bling, because he was like living the life. He's got this mansion.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
But like, you ask a question once you get raided. No?
Well, he didn't have a lot of time. Melissa was like, it's bedtime, honey. And then she was gone.
Okay. So speaking of that press conference, after the husband speaks, Melissa's brother Adam reads a statement. And remember, at this point, brother Adam does not know that his sister has spent the last 7 years stealing money from him and every single person they know.
That's right.
So the difference, like Kate, the journalist, is saying that the difference between these two men is clear.
Her brother Adam Grimley then said a few words.
Yeah, I'd like to read a statement.
Sure.
He could barely keep himself together. You can see him struggling to actually get the words out. But Anthony Coletti, he showed no affect. He was very calm.
Adam is... looks like someone who's lost a loved one.
Yes.
He's like shaky and
he's
sad.
He's sobbing. And Anthony is not. Anthony's like, you're in trouble, babe. Just could you come home with the
cash? And like, the you're in trouble comment alone is bizarre, even without knowing she's a liar and a thief.
Yeah.
But now that we know she's a liar and a thief and there was a raid the day before.
But it's like, the only thing about it is like the entire world knew what he meant. It wasn't like he was sending her a coded message. It just seemed that way to us at the beginning of this documentary.
And then one of the cops goes on 60 Minutes and she's like, they're like, is Anthony helpful? And they were like, super high pitched. She's like, he is. I mean, like, he's not calling us all the time asking for updates or really caring about anything. But when we ask him a question, like, he's responsive. And then she kind of shrugs and she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Real convincing.
I know. But because I think we got to go through that thing where everybody has to assume that Anthony killed her for some reason.
Or did he help her escape?
Right. That's the other
thing. He's not smart enough to do that.
He's not.
So Kate, the friend, who, like the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
Says, look, Melissa called the shots in that relationship.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Was the boss, and Anthony followed and did whatever she wanted. So that's why people are like, oh, is he just like saying the script that she wrote out for him?
Well, and that becomes especially poignant when we learn.
Soon after she goes missing, we discovered that Anthony Coletti had not reported his wife missing until 30 hours after she disappeared. 30 hours. I mean, who does that?
He did not report her missing for 30 hours.
Plenty of time to get away.
Yeah. But it's also like, look, if he's just kind of a dummy, then I can understand his thinking.
I'll tell you exactly why I don't buy it. You can buy it if you want. I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I'm saving my money. I'm not buying it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you would not invest with Melissa. I'd be like, Melissa, here's all my money.
But like, maybe I would, you know, like maybe I would have been like, oh shit, fuck yeah. Like maybe I would have, why did I say yeah like that?
Yeah.
Uncut gems. But that's the point.
There's got to be a way for those of us who don't understand finances to know that we're not getting ripped off by the people we're trusting our money to.
I know.
That's why people don't invest, because we're told over and over again, you got to invest. You got to invest in the stock. You got to do it. But then you hear stories like this and you're like, why would I trust anybody?
And that's what makes her more of an asshole, because she was stealing from her loved ones and her friends and convincing these women who really needed help financially that she was there to help them.
Yes.
And now she has $300,000 necklaces.
I know. Gorgeous as they are. But we're learning now, like the Facebook group guy is like stalking their house, but he's showing us how if she did escape, like if she ran off to start a new life or whatever and he helped her, it would have been possible because... like, remember, this was COVID. Everyone was wearing masks. It was easy enough to scooch around the CCTV camera. Like, she could have gotten away undetected.
Right. I didn't write any of that down. I hate those commenters.
But it's also like, she also just went for a jog. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, like, if that was the plan, like, that, she nailed
That's
it.
What we're told.
She put on the jogging costume and she went.
That is what we're told.
That's what we're told.
Without her phone or keys or wallet or anything. So, 2021, The financial regulation people are collecting Melissa's assets for the upcoming trial, even though she's still missing, which makes this very complicated.
Yeah.
So they do all their research and they're like collecting all the assets. All the evidence is laid out, like every, like the stuff
but it's
that
also,
she got.
Like the real estate. So it's not just her house that her husband and her kid live in, her fucking parents' house.
And she was investing her money in these international portfolios, like yes. trusting these financial advisors overseas or whatever.
But also it just means that if they're seizing all these assets, her husband and kid and her parents are all going to lose their homes. Mm-hmm. And so as this is all happening and everyone thinks Melissa has escaped and he's helped her or he's killed her, one or the other, we get a major announcement.
It's February 26th, 2021. This is how episode one ends. So we're going to tell you this and then dive into episode two.
I can now inform you that last Sunday, a shoe was located on the shoreline of the Bordana National Park south of Tathra.
The DNA from the foot was last night matched a DNA sample from Melissa Caddick's toothbrush.
A shoe with the remains of a human foot inside washes up on shore and no one knows what to make of it.
Yeah.
End episode one. In episode two, Anthony, the husband, is doing tons of interviews, totally rejecting reality, not apologizing or acknowledging how his lifestyle was financed in any way.
Yeah.
He's not mortified by this. He doesn't feel bad that Melissa did this. He's not shock and trauma. I understand that. I'm going to talk a minute about trauma and how I'm starting to resent that fucking word.
Okay.
But like his lifestyle, he's not like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And if you're so traumatized and you don't know how to handle the conversation, don't go on every news station, Anthony.
I know. No,
it's a bad look.
I definitely agree with that. I think a lot of this is coming at him very fast.
I understand that. I do.
And I'm not like making excuses. I agree with you. Like, he knows all of her friends. He knows all of these people. Like,
right. You
know what I mean? Like, and every single one of them, they're like, we don't necessarily blame him, but like a little bit of like compassion for what we're fucking going
because
through.
Because he's also like, that didn't happen. She didn't do that. So he's not even saying she did it. He's just like, No. This is a grave misunderstanding. No, it's not.
How could it possibly be?
It's not.
It's willful ignorance.
And that is frustrating to me.
I totally agree.
Okay, so the foot.
Okay. Oh, can you imagine, like, you're just going to the beach in Australia for, like, a beautiful day of, like, body surfing and, like, secret shots. And you walk up on you're like, oh, look at that cute shoe with a fucking human foot in it?
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
When that foot landed, according to most people, there were three plausible scenarios at that time. One, she was murdered. Two, suicide. And three, she escaped and is living overseas.
Or she's on the run and this is a red herring and she cut off her own foot.
Like, that's crazy. Not since that guy shot his hand off in the alligator or whatever in Trophy Wife.
The top of his thumb.
I know. Fam, this is not like a pitch for the Patreon, but the Trophy Wife series that we just did was wild and
pretty
you should
wild.
Go listen to it. It is crazy.
Anthony, the husband, has a long list of suspects, but he doesn't say who they are.
Anthony. Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
I know. I mean, he's like one of her investors, one of her friends or whatever. Like, they would have just cause. I don't think a jury would convict.
Right.
You know?
So let's talk to Dr. Paula, please.
Yes.
Because she's a forensic scientist with an expertise in aquatic forensics. And I almost jumped out of my chair. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is so rare to have an expert in her field talk about it and not Facebook commenters.
Yeah. Because Dr. Paula's whole thing is that this shoe that washed up on the beach with her fucking foot in it would have been in the water for 3 months. And Dr. Paula's like, I don't think so. I'm so sorry. But like from tests that I've done, so what she does, she takes neoprene, which is what the sneakers were made out of, and puts it in the ocean and like sees if like the same amount of like barnacles and like ocean debris are connecting themselves to the sneaker as it was for this piece of neoprene that would have been in the water the same amount of time.
These are the picture of the shoe of Melissa Caddick. So this is a shoe that allegedly spent 3 months in the ocean. Very clean. Should be way dirtier.
that doesn't match.
She does actual experiments.
Yeah.
I can't believe like how excited I was.
I know.
It's so rare.
When you've got the Great Barrier Reef at your disposal.
Stunning.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And she says, we have to rely on more than just the tide. I'm like, Dr. Paula, I love you.
I know.
I love you. Never leave.
But it does raise more questions than answers. It's like, okay, well, like, did she do this last? Did she blow her own foot off last week? Or has she being held somewhere and they cut off the foot? Or was her body just dumped into the ocean somewhere?
Yeah.
Or was she regurgitated by a shark?
Okay, because the doctor says, like, she was most likely dumped into the water a few days before it was found. Like, that's where the shoe was. So, like, we're talking not 3 months, like, days.
Yeah. Girl, hers is back. Look, there's so much noise around weight loss right now. Trends, opinions, medications. It's hard to know what's actually right for you.
And that's why through hers, you're connected with a medical provider.
Yes.
So they will determine if treatment is right for you. Don't listen to the trends.
Yep.
Don't listen to what everybody else is doing.
Yep.
Talk to this medical provider. And then if you're prescribed, your treatment plan is personalized to support you in reaching your goals because everyone is different.
And you know, I've been on a weight loss journey for 3 years. Without my doctor guiding me, I would not have been successful. So I love that so much. Also, hers goes beyond medication by offering access to ongoing care, dosage and medication adjustments as needed, which is crucial.
Yep.
Lifestyle and nutrition tips, also crucial. And access to 24/7 support. You have to be able to ask somebody questions.
And hers also has comprehensive personalized healthcare that you can count on. So it's not just weight loss. Like if you're interested in growing thicker hair, easing anxiety, navigating menopause symptoms, even accessing convenient lab testing, hers has got it covered.
Oh, so fam, feel like your best self again. Visit forhers.com/TCO to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you.
That's FORHERS.com/TCO.
FORHERS.com/TCO.
Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Prescription required. See website for full details, important safety information, and restrictions. So it's September 12th, 2022. It's 2 years later now.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the inquest, which is like what they do over there for hearings. And
yeah. And this whole thing is done by the coroner. Like the whole idea of this is that like the coroner's doing the inquest to determine what happened. And remember, we still have a body.
Yeah. We should totally do that here.
But I'm like, without a body, why is the coroner involved?
I don't know. I have no idea.
So day one of the inquest, we get the police body cam going to interview Anthony the day that Melissa went missing. And we learned that he gave three versions of when he last saw Melissa. One was at midnight, one was at 5 a.m.
And also, he's adamant that his wife normally got up at the crack of dawn and went for a run. But we've now learned through CCTV footage from the house for weeks beforehand, she'd never got up early in the morning to go for a run.
Every single day at the crack of dawn, there she is running. That is just not
true. It's not true. The one thing I will say about toy boy Anthony, who's like not the brightest bulb, when like you're dealing with your wife being missing and the prospect of having to raise this kid that's not your own for the rest of your life with no money and like, by the way, all of the assets have been frozen, I get not having a perfectly articulated timeline.
Or was she lying to him? And leaving the house at 5:30. But the cameras say they looked at 2 weeks worth of footage. The cameras on their own fucking house. Anthony, why are you lying about this? It's your Ring camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is happening? Or your CCTV. Like, she never left the house at dawn.
Right.
So, like, why lie about this?
Especially when you get the little kid involved who, like you said, he told you that.
So I'm like, Anthony, is there a world where she was getting out of bed at 5:30 and he thinks she's going for a run, but she's not?
Uh-huh.
But she's nowhere. Like, what are we, like, why are you saying this? And being adamant about it. Like no, like, fucking clockwork, death and taxes, there she was every morning. And no, she wasn't.
I just get the sense that Anthony is one of those people who just does what he's told, and suddenly he's in charge and does not know what to do. I know.
The cops are literally like, sweetheart, honesty is the best policy.
Yes.
They're telling him that. Like, it's clear that things were off right away.
Well, and also, like, we're going to be told that he's, like, crying on the body cam, but then the cops are like, but he wasn't really, those were fake tears.
Testifying at the inquest that no one was falling for the tears. Anthony.
I know.
What is going on here?
I know. I don't think Anthony knows more than he's saying. I just think he's like, is not used to not being told what to do.
Well, look, we have a real fucking motley crew here because Anthony speaks at the inquest and we're going to meet his lawyers, Judy and Sarah, the mother-daughter legal team.
And they open their sit-down interview by telling each other how hot they look.
Which, fine. I will never not support that.
Yeah.
But these two are like real pieces of work. Sarah met him when she was 12 because he was cutting her hair. They liked him so much. And they also want us to believe...
I don't know what a toy boy is because I've never had one.
So if someone's willing to show me what a toy boy is, I might be able to make a comment on it. What is a toy boy? I have no idea. Do you know what a toy boy is?
Well, I've never had one either.
They don't know what a, quote, toy boy is. And I'm like, number one, probably because it's boy toy. And two, yes, you do. I patronize me.
I'm really tired of hearing toy boy. I don't like it at
and
all.
And don't act like you don't know what it is.
But also, boy toy just sounds so much better.
It's just what it is.
Yes.
It's so weird.
Toy boy doesn't work.
And they're like, what? I've never heard of that. Don't patronize me. Don't.
Judy and Sarah.
And also, is he paying them in haircuts? I think he's paying them in haircuts.
I
get the sense he's paying them in haircuts.
I'm also really relieved to know that their mother and daughter, I missed that because I'm like, why did she know him when she was 12? That's weird.
Mother-daughter legal team.
But I get it.
I think he's paying them in haircuts. Because the assets are frozen. He's got no money.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I guess they've known. I feel like this has got to be part of like the drawback of being a lawyer is that like, you know and love people who get into trouble but can't afford you, but you have to defend them because they're your people. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Would
I think there are plenty of lawyers who'd be like, no, that's not how it works.
Right, literally.
But they say to him, step one, shut your mouth.
Yes.
You look and sound ridiculous.
Yeah.
On this, ladies, we agree. And step two, they sit him down and they're like, you need to acknowledge what she did here. They show him all of the evidence on paper and they're like, we're not getting up until you get it through your head that she was a terrible person and she was stealing tens of millions of dollars from her loved ones.
And it's also like, Anthony, she's never coming back. Like, even if she's not dead, she's either A, just never coming back, or B, if she does come back, she's going to jail for the rest of her life. Why are you protecting
her? And she left you holding the bag, buddy.
I mean, unless he was in on it.
Unless he was, but I don't think she would trust him with that, to be honest.
Seems too stupid.
I think she left him high and dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is another shitty thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, she killed herself. You know what I mean? It's just like, in my opinion, like, she went and killed herself and jumped into the ocean, and the ocean took her body. Like, this is very
and simple. It was always the plan.
Yes.
That was always the plan, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like, the first time she stole money from her poor friend, Kate, it was like, Kate, you should go work overtime this week and not see your kids and then give me that money. And then she went and bought a necklace with it. That's when the clock started. And she had to know it.
Back with, what's his name?
Yeah.
Hilton.
Yeah.
Who caught her, you know, like.
My God, were the dinners worth it?
How many times was she getting caught before she just ghosted the person and never saw that? I'm sure tons.
I mean, she would be on a ski lift in Aspen having the time of her life, having to know someday I'm going to have to jump off that beautiful cliff.
And you know what? Kate was sleeping soundly knowing my best friend has my back.
Oh.
And she didn't.
Oh.
That, like,
I know.
So as the Kate, you're like, how do you recover from that?
I know. I know.
So now he's in the witness box at the inquest.
Yeah.
And at one point, he is struggling so much that he is not. And look, I've been there where your brain is just like not computing, but it's getting to the point where it's like, Anthony, you got to tone it down like a little bit.
Yeah, like he's literally saying.
He really did seem to struggle to follow what was being said to him. And at one stage, he just said, my mind doesn't work like you. I can't grasp what you're saying.
He cannot understand the words that are being spoken to him from opposing counsel. Like, he cannot answer any questions.
His lawyers say the language of the questions were beyond his vocabulary. Would you like an example of what he couldn't understand?
Yes.
The words from an objective perspective.
Yeah.
That pushed him over the fucking edge.
Yeah.
That is what caused the breakdown.
I know.
The four words from an objective perspective, he could not handle it.
They even made it rhyme for him.
The court is like, we can't do this. They want him to see a medical professional. He says to his lawyers, I can't handle this. Just take me to McDonald's.
Which, look, you know what I mean?
Crispiest Coke on the planet.
McDonald's out of this.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yet, which is great. Like, you just need to, like, self-soothe with a Big Mac and a Crispy Coke.
100.
Heard.
Yeah.
However, we are looking at phone video of him driving home.
Right.
So you're in such a breakdown, and the lawyer, the person running the inquest is like, you need medical attention now. We're only stopping this so you can get the treatment you need. He demands going to McDonald's.
They don't
take him there. He, in the middle of a breakdown, gets behind the wheel and is filming himself driving home.
And they let him off the hook. Like, they don't force him to answer them. Just, can you rephrase the question if he doesn't know the words?
But I think he was making
it. Can you ask the question again?
From an objective perspective.
So I would say, Anthony,
and I don't know the rest of it.
So I'd be like, here's how you say it. Like, hey, idiot, zoom out.
If you weren't you, right. What would you think?
Totally. Right.
But everything they said, he was like, what?
I don't figure out how to ask it another way. I simply do not know any other words for that.
He'd be like, what? I don't know. No matter what. Like, yeah. This feels to me like in any other case, we'd be like, this is a delay tactic.
Well, and also, he's going to wonder why all of Australia hates him and thinks he's involved. Like, this is why.
And then he's like having this breakdown where the court is like, you need to see a medical professional. His own lawyers are like, no one would take him.
Right.
He demands to go to McDonald's. Again, heard Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
But then he films himself driving. If you have a breakdown, you should not be behind the wheel of a car. That is incredibly dangerous to you and everyone on the road. And yet.
Also, where is that kid's dad? That's my other question. Like,
I don't know.
Dad that lives in London, like, you're just letting the kid live. His mother's missing. You're just letting him live through this?
I don't know. So the cops, however, are also under fire because the inquest found that they barely investigated.
CCTV footage, if it was obtained, it wasn't looked at until much later. They had a search of the house that lasted for 14 minutes. Supposedly, the cars weren't examined. The house wasn't examined properly.
Which means key evidence might not have been noticed.
They spent 14 minutes at the house. The CCTV footage wasn't collected. They didn't canvass the neighborhood. They didn't look at the cars. And I'm like, Australia, bad policing is kind of our thing. What are you trying to pull here?
Exactly.
That's us.
It's also, why? Like, what would the explanation be for why they didn't investigate further?
Also, their theory.
I know.
About the shoe foot situation.
Yeah.
Is that Melissa jumped, a shark attacked her, and the shoe foot. And then the shark threw it back up. And I'm kindly leave the sharks out of this.
But it's also not like a terrible idea of what happened because it would explain why the shoe wasn't in the water as long as Dr. Paula says it should be.
But wouldn't it have been?
I mean,
if they found her body and it, I'm sorry to be like morbid about it.
Yeah.
But like, so it just lived in the shark's stomach for 3 months, then the acid would have destroyed it.
Did you see the TikTok about what would happen if you got swallowed by a whale? And they actually have like animation of like what would happen to you in there. It would be bad. It would not be good.
It
would really be bad because you'd like still be alive for a little while.
Yeah. This theory doesn't make sense because even if it was in his stomach for his or her stomach.
Yeah.
Their stomach. For 3 months, like it would be destroyed and they would digest it. They're fucking sharks.
I guess.
This is a stupid theory.
I also don't think sharks swallow people whole, but what do I know?
Also, I think it's hilarious and probably kind of cute for a shark to be like, like, and just like spit up.
Oh, excuse me.
Like,
sorry, excuse me.
And they're like, how?
Nah.
Yeah. What's the shark in Finding Nemo in Australia? Bruce.
Oh.
Fish are friends, not food.
Oh, my God.
Support group. So maybe it was Bruce. And I don't know. I think we should leave the sharks out of it.
So now the producer is like directly questioning Anthony about all of the shit that Australia has questions about.
We also get on the eighth day of the inquest. Is Anthony well enough to continue? I don't know. Go to McDonald's and check. He drove himself there and filmed it.
Literally.
But like, I love this because finally, like how many times have we begged the person behind the camera to be like, they're
just
in front of you.
Them.
Ask.
Yeah.
They do.
Yes, they do. So they're asking about like giving the inconsistent accounts of when he last saw her. And he's saying it's trauma.
Look.
Okay.
Deep, deep, deep sigh.
Yeah.
I feel like we're overusing words these days and I'm starting to resent it.
Well, because the right word here would be shock because it's like in the moment you're shocked. You don't know what's happened. Shock would be the right word.
Because it also feels like this has become, please hear this the way I'm saying it.
Okay.
A little bit of a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
Anthony drops trauma. Now no one can say anything about it or else you're a fucking monster.
Yes.
Okay. So what he's saying is, and I'm sure there is trauma there, but he's still, things are not making sense.
Right.
Trauma aside.
Well, because I also think I would be on you, if you're like, how am I supposed to like have a consistent timeline when like my house got raided yesterday?
Right.
My wife is missing today. I got to raise this kid. I have no money. Like, I would be like, I wouldn't expect you to have a consistent timeline either. The word is shock.
Because he, right, because he won't even readily admit that it like looks suspicious.
Can you see how suspicious that makes you look?
Yeah, maybe to an untrained eye, yes. Yes, to a trained eye. No.
Everything is a very, like, high-pitched, well, to the untrained eye, but to the... And I'm like, Anthony, just say, this looks bad.
Yeah.
I don't even remember talking to the cops. Then
right.
I would be like, oh, this is someone who's going through it.
Because my take on this was, like, we say all the time that we're not supposed to judge people's, like, reactions
right.
in crisis or whatever. And I can understand Anthony being like, no, like, that's how I act. Like,
yes.
I look calm, but I'm freaking out or whatever.
But everything is like, I don't... and it's just, it's hard for me to swallow this because it feels like he's just saying buzzwords that he thinks he should say. And it's not the only time he does it.
No. And now the next thing is like, we got to figure out what he was doing for those 30 hours.
And why did you wait?
Right.
So they ask him, what were you actually doing? And I'm like, oh my God, more of this.
I know.
Like, I don't love this doc, but take notes here.
We also don't really get a clear answer. He says he fell, like, so the house gets raided.
This is his now fourth story he's going to tell.
The house gets raided that day. 9 o'clock, he goes to bed. He wakes up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and she's gone, he says.
Can I? You're not up all night asking questions, calling a lawyer. You're not, like, trying to strategize and figure out whether you did something right or wrong.
Yeah.
You're not up with Steve being like, what the fuck do you do now?
You're cozy in bed at
9 o'clock?
Absolutely not.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, absolutely not. Then he said 7:45 a.m., he takes her son to school, and then now he's out looking for her. Because in his story, he gets up at 5:30 or 6, she's gone, takes kid to school, goes looking for her.
And he's going to say,
I didn't believe that she was missing at that point. But as time goes on, I started to get a little bit more worried, a little bit more worried, and then a little bit more worried.
So why did you wait 30 hours to report her missing?
I didn't think that you're supposed to report until 24 hours. That, I know, is not the case now.
Well, I didn't believe she was missing at that point. Fine. However, your house was raided the night before.
Right.
If this was any other day and she goes for a run at 5:30 and by 7 she's not home, okay.
Yeah,
She went for an extended run, she whatever. But you were raided 12 hours earlier, not even.
And also then his story changes because it's when it goes from I didn't think she was missing to I didn't think I could report her for 24 hours.
Right, and then you waited another 6.
Right.
So what are you saying to me, Anthony?
No, but he does say because the house got raided yesterday, she's supposed to show up at court today. When she doesn't show up at court, that's when it clicks to him that she's missing.
Anthony.
I know.
Stop talking.
I know. But it's also like, you think she's going to go out for a run and then go right to court in her running costume? Like, when she didn't come home to take a shower for court, maybe that's when?
And then, suddenly, 8 days into the inquest, the cops just, like, stop caring about Anthony.
Yeah.
We're told.
I know. It's funny, too, because when he does, like, get back up on the stand and say all of this, all of a sudden, everybody from the cops to the journalists to the Facebook group girlies are like, he's a victim in this, too. Like, we feel bad for Anthony.
And I'm not trying to be callous here. I'm just struggling with the presentation, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe that's on me. Maybe that's a me problem, and I'll accept that.
Anthony is not your kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Just any if he says, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah.
I can't believe this person did all of this stuff to people. I can't believe I thought we were having a nice vacation and it was on blood money, essentially.
I wonder, too, if there isn't a little bit of like, my whole life was a lie. And now, like, she used me. Like,
I'm sure he's embarrassed.
Embarrassed, reevaluating every decision, everything she ever. I mean, this woman is a legit sociopath.
Heard.
You know.
And agree. And if that were the case, why am I not looking on screen text saying Anthony declined to sit down for the documentary?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we are going to learn in a minute that, like, he's been stalked by, like, media and paparazzi. Maybe this is his chance to, like, get them to leave him alone.
And that's ridiculous. We should do it right.
Yeah.
And people on the internet need to calm the fuck down and get a goddamn grip.
Yeah.
Just as a rule.
Yeah, and I can understand he's going to sit down for the doc to, like, clear his name, tell his side of the story or whatever, but it's not going to make it go away. It's going to make it worse.
And also, as much as I disagree with him, not a single fiber of any part of my being would it even occur to me to track him down and tell him that.
Exactly.
And if you feel that way, you're fucking crazy.
I agree.
Like, enough.
But also, like, all of her, like, victims best friends are here to be like,
the people that knew her, they describe her as incredibly organized, efficient, and I think because of that, they were convinced that there was an exit plan. People were very doubtful that she would have self-harmed.
There's no way she killed herself because she's way too organized to do that.
Yeah, but then people are like, well, it had to have been her exit plan because you and I are always asking, what to what end?
Here's something I do know. I have done a lot of research on this for various things that I've done in my life. It is near, if not totally impossible, to go missing on purpose and stay missing if anybody is looking for you. It is just too hard, especially somebody like this that would need like a highfalutin life. Like she's not
on the cover of magazines.
Yeah, she's not living in the woods like hunting squirrels and like, you know, iodizing water. Mm. You know what I mean? She's not off the grid somewhere. So like she killed herself. Like there's just no other answer. She killed herself.
I mean, we learn about her childhood and we learn about some, you know, like awful shit she went through. Like we learned that she had this medical issue with her hips.
Yes.
So she had to wear what they call special boots and she had to wear diapers until she was 7 years old.
And it's terrible. And like this forensic psychiatrist is here to say that like, I actually love that she said this because she's diagnosing Melissa as a narcissist. And she's like, look, many of us have narcissistic qualities.
There are like 8 levels of narcissists.
100%. And she's saying, but Melissa seems to have developed into like an intense level of narcissism. And like part of like the recovery of what she went through as a kid was that she needs people to like revere her.
Right.
So like that's where it starts.
So like having to go through that would, and I'm going to use the word traumatize anyone.
Yes.
Is it an excuse for stealing millions from the people who you think, who they think love you? Like, no, of course not.
And then they also say that her husband, her first husband reported that when she had the baby, she went through like severe postpartum depression. She became obsessed with her appearance. She loses a ton of weight. She's getting liposuction. And then like, she basically just has to be in control of everything.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the suicide makes sense because she's in control of nobody knowing what happened to her.
Well, also, I don't have experience with postpartum depression. We just did this with Andrea Yates. So yeah, I'm not acting like an expert, but I don't think it's unreasonable or crazy for a woman to want to feel good about herself physically, about her body. So I'm not like saying that she's some asshole for wanting to get liposuction or whatever.
Right.
But what they're saying is like the control was pretty specifically about her image.
Yes.
So like she wanted to be on the cover. She wanted the wealth. She wanted the necklaces. She wanted that. So they're just adding that to the list of things like how she's presenting herself, real or not.
Yeah, right. And they're saying
her cover was blown and there was no way out. It's not a coincidence that she disappeared the day after the raid. In terms of the emotional self, that feels like dying. The exposure would have been too much for her.
Like, there's just no way that she was ever going to be able to survive that.
So, like, literally hours later, she's gone.
Right.
And all the experts are like, that's not a coincidence.
But also, she, in my opinion, killed herself. And she did it in such a way that her body would never be found. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, that is, like, the way of, like, exerting control from beyond the grave.
Right. And, like,
not regurgitated by a shark.
No.
Probably not.
Would it have been, like, a little cute if it wasn't morbid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, what a horrible way to die.
I am begging you kindly to leave the sharks out of it.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We get on-screen text that says the psychologist's report agreed with the police that suicide was the most probable scenario.
I mean, it's just common. The only other option is that she's out there somewhere living undetected, which I promise you is impossible.
And I don't know if this is allowed, but on top of all of the other things that make me so confused about Anthony, he doesn't feel sad either. He's not saying like, and I'll never see the love of my life again.
Right.
Like
I don't think if this happened to me and that were Steve, I wouldn't feel that way either. I'd be like, fuck that guy.
But he's not even saying that.
But I wonder if he's saying it inside. I understand.
No,
I wonder if he's just not saying that out loud. There's a kid here. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if he's not sad because he's just so sad or he's just so angry.
I could get that.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm getting like
nothing
one way or the other and like no real acknowledgement or sympathy.
I know.
Or remorse. Well, or.
And that's the thing, because we go to like all of the friends and like victims of hers who are like,
still, Anthony Colletti is showing a lack of care for the hurt that Melissa has caused us. It's very painful. He knows what she did. So it just that lack of consideration for our pain is hurtful.
Just a little bit from Anthony, a little bit of understanding of what she put us through would go a real fucking long way.
Because it kind of looks like he knew all along and doesn't care. Not saying that's true.
To me, it looks like it all makes sense to him in retrospect. That like, I think there must have been times where he's like, damn, we're doing great. Like, I didn't realize we were doing that well. And then once it was made clear to him, and maybe that's why he has such a hard time acknowledging it, because maybe then in his mind and heart, he's partially culpable.
I would get it. Yeah, I do hear that. But I just can't believe that these lawyers were like, the first thing we told him was to stop talking. And I'm like, do you not work? Is he not giving you haircuts for free anymore?
I know.
Like, why is he here? Because this is not great. Also, don't fucking dox people and stalk people.
No.
But like, it just is it was an interesting choice for him to choose to do this.
And it's like, in the end, he does like the producer reads him. So like, here's the $24 million that she stole from all of her friends. Here's all of like the legal proof of it. Here's all of the numbers and financial proof of it. Do you accept that now? And he says, like, reluctantly, he says yes.
I think he's saying the words he feels like he has to say.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In my opinion. So as we're wrapping up, we're like at this auction because they're trying to sell her assets to try to get some of the money back to these people.
Oh, you're watching them auction off these probably $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 necklaces for $3,500.
And they said that the liquidators have currently recovered $10 million from the sale of Melissa's property.
Which sounds like a lot, but it's less than half.
Before fees.
And they say that money is going to go to the victims, and I hope that it does, but it's not going to make everybody whole.
So the finances are destroyed. Your sense of trust is destroyed, friendships destroyed, like all of the work that you have to do as a person to just like live a life where you're not totally in fight or flight for the rest of your existence.
Yeah.
And the retirement's gone. The kids can't buy the house, the this or that, like destroying people's lives.
I loved it with Kate, the friend. She said like,
all right, so this is a present that Melissa gave me for my 50th. That's a fairly expensive bottle of perfume. And I use it in the bathroom to I spray my poo with it. It gives me a little bit of closure, I suppose, I think.
And she uses it to cover the poop smell in the bathroom.
Good for her. And then, like, at the end of the day, though, we get Kate the journalist. And the guy behind the camera is kind of like, Kate the journalist. Like, the whole narrative from police and everyone else is that, like, Anthony, whatever you think about him, he didn't, like, kill her or have anything to do with this. And he was like, but you did all these, like, clickbaity articles and kind of threw him into the fray. Like, thoughts on that?
Like, the headline is, like, did the husband do it? And then she's like,
probably.
But the first sentence is, like, the police don't think he did it. And it's like, nobody reads beyond the headline, Kate, and you know that.
And she defends it.
And
she's
totally
like, oh, I love clickbait. Like, oh, thanks. Like, she thinks it's, like, a compliment. And he's like, no, you kind of made this guy's life a living hell more than it was,
and
whether
we see him,
or
like,
not.
Hiding in parking garages, like people are stalking this guy. And then the coroner's report at the end acknowledges that she is dead, but they don't know where, when, or how it was done. And we'll never know.
Great.
Oh my God, girl, we did the missing millionaires.
She was a monster, though, in her waking life.
It should have been like the monstrous millionaires. You know
monstrous
what I mean?
Millionaire.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more.
God.
Fam, join us on the Patreon. Over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. Go subscribe to our YouTube and watch us there. Over 250,000 subscribers are doing it right now. Hi, YouTubies. What are we doing next, girl?
Okay, so The Curious Case is back.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be sprinkling this in the feed.
Okay.
Some of the cases we've actually done, remember like the poison cheesecake that we did?
Yes.
Like, that's there. The principal who hypnotized the kids.
Oh my God, that's there too?
So we're going to do the ones that we haven't done.
Okay.
So season 2, episode 1 is Robert Young, Death by Detox. So we're going to sprinkle them in.
Ooh, all right. Well, stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam. And we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Be careful with your money, please.
Oh my God, please be careful.
You work so hard for it, please.
I have no advice as to how to be careful, but just be careful.
Please.
Thank you.
There are people who have been rock stars in the food health business over the course of decades. And Robert Young was one of those people.
I have discovered that the human organism is alkaline by design.
I was thinking this guy walked on water.
Any expert or research scientist always regards him as the Nikola Tesla of our time.
This is like the teachings of Jesus coming through this man.
Robert Young said he could cure her cancer if she did exactly what he said. Why was everybody getting sicker, not better?
You would think, wow, the guy that cures cancer is going to get brought out as a hero.
Robert Young was energized by watching people get better. But where does salesmanship end and fraud begin?